We can start with you.
No,
who are
I
you?
I'm nobody.
You're nobody? Well, you're... right. We're in your office, right?
That's
you're
right.
Mark Law.
That's right.
And what do you do here?
Virtual Earth Lead Program Manager.
Wow. Okay.
So,
and who do we have here?
Well, we invited these friends of ours from Poly9, who is a company out of Quebec, who we met at the WEAR 2.0 conference, and they were presenting some very interesting Google mapping applications that they'd hacked and created, and created quite a stir at the conference, and... We were quite impressed, or impressed enough, that we wanted to bring them down here, and they started doing some work in Virtual Earth and let us know, so we invited them to campus.
Oh, cool.
And they've actually demoed some stuff.
And Neil's here, right?
I'm here too. I'm Dr. Neil. Yep. I created a website called viavirtualearth.com.
So this is all Virtual Earth all the time, right?
Oh, it's Virtual Earth 724.
So you guys have been... how did you get into this crazy world?
Yeah, we started working with a Google map application, like the one, a combination of Yahoo traffic and Google Maps, and Dennis here did Gmerge, which was an application you could make wallpapers out of Google Maps satellite images. That got shut down, but it was a good, yeah, but it was a good experience.
Now, why did you get shut down?
Oh, I don't look bad, but I was stealing Google's data to put
borrowing.
we're expecting that, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, we kind of wanted to, just push the limits, and it was fun stuff. We got into Slashdot and everything, so it was fun.
Yeah. Now, how did the three of you meet?
Oh, we've worked together in the past. Dennis and I have worked on some programming for some companies. Sebastian and I have worked on various websites previously, different projects, and I, now we're all working together so it's a really good experience.
Yeah. So why are you here?
Okay. So we're in Microsoft.
You're the Google hackers, right?
Yeah.
But you're here at Microsoft.
Yeah, we're
in the Virtual Earth office.
Yeah,
we can tell you're in Virtual Earth because there's a map across the hall here.
Yeah, very nice map of Dallas. So we're just curious to see how Virtual Earth, how it would compare to Google Maps, and because since we knew Google Maps so well, so we did some of the applications that we did for Google, we kind of ported them to Virtual Earth, and that was a fun exercise. So I have some demos.
Sure.
There's this one demo. It's called.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I can show you one of the demos. That's you're going to see the province of Quebec.
Okay.
You see those fires are actual real forest fires happening right now in Quebec. So there's an organization in Quebec that, puts out those fires, and they put out a list of all the fires. So we put that information on Google Maps, and, it's a Google Maps. It's fun.
Oh, this is Google Maps?
Yeah, this is Google Maps. Yeah. So, and it's in French. Well, but it works. Now, what we did, this is when you look at a specific fire.
Okay.
What we did is we just...
Now, are those fires shared by a web service, or scraping the page?
Yeah, we were scraping a page.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And we just did a little extension to it, which is exactly the same, but done with Virtual Earth.
Okay.
And I don't know if you saw, but the page appeared much quicker, which is one of the things that we found out when we used Virtual Earth, is the API and everything is a little responsive. It's really cute. So... Everything is the same, and this is the same fire we're looking at, and those are other fires. So we just implemented, we call it a bridge. So the idea is that any Google Map hack can use Virtual Earth satellite imagery and everything that Virtual Earth does. It can use it just using a simple bridge. So you don't have to code your application again, because we didn't want to code our applications again. We have like 5 of them. And it's a really long process to start from scratch. But when you do a simple bridge, then you just have to re-implement whatever you're using once, and then you're done. You're done for the whole 5 projects. So it scales. So this is one thing. Another thing is... this is the Google Maps. So I'll go on restaurants. And now you'll see appear, again a Google Map application. This is what we actually built first. And when you press on a specific restaurant, you can see some names, and there are some stars here, so you can rate a restaurant. This is all like internal and not public and not for public consumption, but just a test run. We just wanted to see what we could do.
Right.
And you can also, for example, say, I'm not going to this restaurant, or like click the end me link and say, yeah, okay, I'm going to this restaurant to eat there with my colleagues. Now, the idea is the same. Once we had the bridge, we didn't have to change one thing in this application. We just changed the line that says use a Google map, and we changed that to a virtual Earth map, and now it's the same application. So you have the same stars, and you have the same names.
Now, if I have a Google map application, because there's a bunch of them out
yeah.
there, how do I get your bridge software?
Well, supposedly it's going to be distributed or publicly made, or you know, at least we're going to explain how we did it, and it'll be able to, it'll be easy to do it again.
Where would you find that information?
Oh, yeah. Probably on the Via Virtual Earth.
On viavirtualearth.com.
Yeah.
Oh, now I know why Neil's here.
That's the place to go.
Sorry, my tripod's all messed up. Okay, cool.
Okay. Yeah, so that bridge is it's an interesting exercise, you know, a programming exercise, and the results are really fascinating. And also, of course, you know, the satellite imagery in the case of virtual Earth, sometimes it gets much more quality and much more neat. So, you know, there's an incentive, at least in that.
Now, let me bring Mark in here, because the last time we were on, what happened to the Apple campus? Since we're talking about satellite photo here.
It wasn't intentional. It was satellite imagery that was older than the satellite campus. So in that context, you know, it wasn't intentional to actually miss it. It's just, it wasn't there.
So is Virtual Earth going to get updated imagery?
Yeah, we're doing a whole roadmap for not just Apple's campus, but for the entire United States and elsewhere, which is part of the reason we have that 5-year contract now with Orb Image. Yeah. So the context there is to obviously update around the world as we do expand beyond the United States as well. So the same thing with certain other areas in the United States. People have pointed out that the data is a little bit too old. Then we've gone through the process of defining a roadmap, and we'll go through a normalized process to release better imagery over time.
Right.
So again, it wasn't an intentional thing. Got a lot of press, which is, you know,
now,
good or bad. But
now, when I was using Virtual Earth, the Google campus actually had newer satellite image than Google had.
Right.
And that's just a few miles away. Why the difference in age?
Just the source of the data sets. Okay. We get our source of data sets from the Terra Server data set, which is USGS. It just so happened that data set we got from USGS so happens to be more recent than the data set they're using.
Okay.
In terms of Google. And it's simply...
And they were newer on the Apple campus than we were.
Right. And it may be just a function that the USGS hasn't given us that data set yet, or there isn't one available. But as I said, one of the things is the reason why we did this Orb Image contract is to get more updated data for all of the United States.
Got it.
So that's what we're doing.
And you guys are flying a plane over a lot of cities right now, right?
No, it's the... pictometry imagery. So that 45-degree angle content. Pictometry out of Rochester, New York, this company that we've contracted for the 45-degree angle photos, they have a number of cities already done. And they're actually working with us, as we've made very public with them, that we're going to actually go out and capture certain other cities, which will be even more recent, like this fall, to make sure we have the best and greatest content on the web for the consumer in this 45-degree angle
now,
photos.
All these mapping services get their data from pretty much the same place, right?
No, there are different sources of of data, but I couldn't tell you which ones, who gets what from where. I actually don't know. But
cool. Well, just a little aside.
That's all right.
So I wanted to, since we were talking about satellite imagery there.
Yeah. We're also looking for the 45 degrees, and we saw one in your previous video. And actually, to bring back to things that are made here inside Microsoft, we wanted to see on virtual Earth routes. Right now, there are no routes. Like, you have to make another map and another pop-up.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to see routes right away. And we were wondering, where could we get those directions? Because those are hard to compute. And we saw that Microsoft has this MapPoint web service. So we looked into it, and it's a very easy on MSDN. It just says what to do. We did what it said to do. And the result is a little integration with virtual Earth. So this one doesn't exist in the Google Map version, by the way. This is a virtual Earth map. I'll just click here once, and I'll just go a little bit to the east and say click in the Microsoft campus, and I'll just leave it to think about it.
That's the noise of a computer thinking.
Did you actually hit the street?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe I wasn't.
You didn't capture the street.
Sure. Maybe I wasn't precise enough. So let me try this again.
Okay.
Sorry about. Okay. I think it's a.
It's
on
the proxy.
It's a proxy.
Oh yeah, right. Sure.
Sorry,
sure. No, exactly. Yeah. We're having like 23.
This is a live demo.
Yeah, it's a very live. So this is the same demo just on another server, much better server. And again, clicking. Oh, there we go. There we go. Okay, I'll just clear this. This one is a little bit crazy. This is like the milkman or something. So okay, I'll delivering for the whole neighborhood. So okay, one click, and over there. One click and that's it. I'll leave you at that. And there you go.
Got it.
Yeah. So that route, you know, sometimes it goes over like terrain or bushes because the way the route is given to us from MapPoint, it's just direction. So it's just turn left, turn right. But when you get on a highway, it doesn't say turn right with when the highway goes right. It's obvious. You're not going off the highway into the bushes. So sometimes you see the route from the highway just jump into the city and go back, but you know the idea is still there.
Yeah,
you can get where you want to get.
So this is a for us. This is
I'm nailing Neil with my tripod here. Sorry.
For us, this was a phenomenal example of how the community can go build something, which we want to do too. But they stepped ahead of us and they actually used our MapPoint web service to actually calculate the routes and then display that route on top of Virtual Earth.
Okay.
So they're taking two pieces of technology. These guys from Poly9 had not even seen any of the MapPoint web service until Wednesday of last week.
Wow.
And they just did this by going through our MSDN documentation, following it line by line, interpreting themselves. They hadn't even used SOAP or any of these other components of ours in the past. And they went and built this application that now calculates directions on the fly at that type of speed on top of Virtual Earth.
So this
is very exciting for us.
Very cool.
So this is a little tongue-in-cheek thing. So if Paul Radmacher is watching, hi Paul. Paul Radmacher is the guy who did housing maps, which was the big, you know, the big hack for Google Maps, which was mentioned. So as you remember, we did a bridge, and the bridge's idea is to take any Google Maps application and put it over Virtual Earth. We wanted to see if that really could apply to any site, and it does. So what you're looking right now, and I haven't spoken to Paul since the San Francisco conference, so he doesn't know this. Again, hi, Paul. So this is his site. Let's go into Denver, for example, the Denver for Rent.
Okay.
And now, you know, we'll have to really fill in with a lot of Jeopardy music because this is really, really slow since there's a lot of proxy and processing. But as you'll see in, let's give it 2 minutes or a whole minute, is it will load exactly as it works on housing maps right now.
Yeah.
And everything will work exactly the same. The difference being you're using Virtual Earth mapping.
Okay.
So there we go. So for example, if
so
I...
So now is this Google map we're looking at? Or
no.
Is this,
this is Virtual Earth. Yeah. So let me just go over one that has some pictures, and those pictures will eventually load of a Victorian beauty 3-bedroom in Denver. So free advertising. Whoever's renting that. Yeah, I just go see. Okay, I'll just leave it load. Leave
so
it.
So, Greg, you asking for 5%?
No, it's no. The Victorian beauty can go.
So, question: why is it so slow? What's causing it to be so slow?
It's hard to say. I would say housing maps itself. You know, maybe because there's a lot of traffic to that site, and a lot of data has to go out. All those pictures and everything. And second of all, again, this can only happen on this particular computer because this is the only computer in the world to filter and proxy all of those sites and changing the Google Maps to the Virtual Earth. So there's one proxy and there's another proxy because we're here on the Redmond campus. Housing Maps is not so too fast, so yeah, it all adds up, unfortunately. But obviously, if Paul wants to do this, you know, he could do it like that. And yeah, I guess it's still loading.
Okay, but
that's okay.
Yeah.
Takes a while.
Yeah, it takes a while.
So what you're doing is running some code in a proxy here? That's what your bridge is?
Yeah. Well, the bridge is a JavaScript file that implements most of the functions used by Google Maps hacks. So one of the Google Maps hack function, well, Google Maps API function you would use is create a new map or make a new point, and when somebody clicks on a point, show a specific window, info window. And we just did all those calls, make a new map, virtual earth map, make a new point, it's a push pin. We just went through the list, and at some point, you know, 90% of the hacks, they're pretty standard. Oh, so there you go. There's a very large luxury corner unit, and the pictures are there, exactly as you would see in the Google Maps version. So,
still loading.
Yeah.
Now, is there anything you can do with one mapping system versus the other? Is there APIs missing?
No, they're pretty. They're almost even. It's just the concept that's changed. The names of the function and the ending.
So they're pretty much 100% the same.
Yeah, well, it, you know, it's web mapping, and at some point it's just there's no, it's the same concepts. It's map, zoom controls, and things like that, points.
Right. When are we going to see a system where I can go to a sushi restaurant, take a picture, and put it right on the map, and take a little review or something like that, and put it right on the map?
You could do it right away. You could build a site.
Have you not seen Location Blogger?
Location Blogger?
No.
Bring up Location Blogger. So.
Okay.
This is on the back of Via Virtual Earth.
Okay.
And it's... Yeah, just give me a proxy that I can get out on. And get to the real world.
Switching from demos to demos.
Yeah, you should be fine.
Take a shot.
So if you go to...
are you going to show the photo one?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
ViaVirtualEarth.com.
So this is your website?
So this is my website.
Okay.
And if you look in the gallery, there's a whole bunch of different applications. Start off with the photo map, for example. Now this is a guy who's put together his photos on little locations for Virtual Earth.
Oh, I've seen this. This is Mills.
Right. Yeah. And so you can see, you know, really nice photos he's got of the Wild Animal Park in San Diego.
Right.
So, and he's linked them all to the locations. So, really nice, nicely put together, nice look and feel. It's great. So that allows you to link photos onto a map, and you can grab that.
Right. But
you want to do is blogging. So location blog is, this is done by a guy called Sean, and actually, if we load from MySpace, so if I load from MySpace's High Tech Hobo, so this loads from my MSN space.
Okay.
And I've blogged a whole bunch of things that I've been doing while I've been in town. Hopefully it'll go away. Load up the... is it doing it? Tick, tick, tick. We need that sound effect again for the computer thinking. Shall I do it again? Give it a minute. It does take a while. It seems to take a while to go through to the Spaces site and strip the information out of Spaces.
Right.
So actually all he's doing is stripping the Spaces information. He's not using an RSS feed or anything like that.
Okay.
So it's still not coming up. Oh, here we go.
Yep.
So here we go. Today I'm meeting with some dudes from Poly9, which is what we're doing right now.
Okay.
And let's zoom into that. So you can see I've been spending a fair amount of time in this neck of the woods for the last week. And
you're just clicking on the button there.
Right, I'm just zooming in. Yeah, just double click to zoom in. So today we're on campus, and here I'm meeting with the cool dudes from Poly9. And you can see that's on my blog here.
And now, did you have to tag your blog to get it?
So actually, you do it from here. So let's blog this. Let's blog what we're doing now. Let's blog this recording. So we'll blog a place. So what should we call this? We'll call this...
Mark's office.
Being Scobled in Mark's office.
Okay.
You put your space ID here, so... and we blog it. And, of course... Oh, a funny keyboard.
Yeah. You're not the first to remark that.
How do I get an at sign?
Shift 2? Or
Shift 2.
No, that's giving me quotes.
Alt 2.
Oh.
Alt 2. You're using a French keyboard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
They are from Quebec.
It's a nice town, by the way. I was there a few months ago.
You don't want to be recording that bit.
I didn't look at your keys. So
now we've got our blog meeting up here.
Now you're going to exceed the scratch pad? No, you're not, because you're in the...
No, that's fine. So, actually, it's doing all kinds of things, so...
Cool.
I don't want discussion, sir.
Okay.
And what should we call the category? It's something to do with, I don't know, I guess it's something to do with work, although it's mostly fun. And then we just will publish that.
So now that goes to your MSN
So that now
Spaces
goes to
blog.
My MSN Spaces blog, and if we go to my MSN Spaces blog and have a look at my Spaces blog, you'll see here we are. We're being scobbled in Mark's office. There's my meeting that I had earlier today. And actually, there's Seafair. I went to Seafair yesterday, which was really cool. If we click on that link, it'll take us back to the map. Give it a bit of time. It'll load the map up and zoom us in on that space where that thing occurred. And need that sound effect once more. Do-do-do-do-do. And so it's going away, getting the stuff from the blog, and linking it onto the scratch pad.
So why is it so slow on some of these apps? Is it because it's scraping?
It's partly because it's scraping. It's partly because it's going through multiple sites. There's no... And one of the things we've talked about today is actually getting data feeds so that, you know... Right now we've got this great API to build mapping applications, but what we need next is data to put on the maps so that... You know, guys like Poly9 or people that are using my site can actually, you know, take nice RSS feed or XML type data and link it into the maps. Because that's where you're starting to get stuff that's interesting, right? Is when you're getting information that's pertinent to what you're doing in a geographical space.
Right.
So this is not playing. If we refresh that, maybe it will.
So this really is the early days of mapping innovation, isn't it?
For the web, I think this is a new frontier for getting really it's commoditizing GIS applications to a degree. It's not going down to the level of the hardcore GIS applications, but we're creating the ability for geographical information to be available to the general public at a reasonable price, i.e. free.
Right.
And it's also providing that extension of capabilities that, you know, normally you'd have to be a real hardcore developer to do. What we saw in the lab today, we actually invited the Poly9 team into the usability labs, which was, I think, a lot of fun, and we watched them through the one-way glass and all that. And we actually posed them with a set of data and go build. And what we watched and saw them do was actually not build from scratch. They actually went to like 7 different sites and took the Java code pieces and assembled it all into one application and then debugged it. And from a development point of view, that was really unique to see versus, you know, someone starting from the where statement and the end statement, the start statement. These guys were actually coalescing a lot of information, a lot of tools and code that actually produced for other people. And I think that was the advantage.
Is that the new way to build applications, sort of, mashing up your code. You take a little code from here and you mix it up with somebody else's
code. What's new about that? I don't know that there's anything new about that. Is there? I was stealing code from Steve Wozniak for years ago. You know, nothing's changed.
But in the mapping space, we've not had a lot of sharing of that kind of coding capabilities across all the different mapping groups.
Right.
And I think that's the opportunity here. Is in the mapping space, we've now created a community environment for developers to share.
Right.
And no one feels like they're stealing. It feels like we're building up a kind of code base that people now can adopt and manipulate and add to. And I think that's what we've seen over the last 24
right.
hours.
Yeah.
Now, this UI seems to work all right, because you only have a few blog posts on one map.
Well,
right?
There's actually, yeah.
But we don't have yet 100,000 blog posts. How is the UI going to have to change?
Well, this is currently just showing the top five.
Okay.
So my blog has actually got probably about 10 blog posts with geographical information in,
right.
and it just shows the most recent five.
Right.
But what
I'm saying is,
we get hundreds of thousands.
When you get hundreds of thousands of people coming to Seattle and putting a blog post in on their favorite sushi restaurant.
Right, but this is only linking to my blog.
Right. What I want is a map that actually shows
everyone's blogs.
And lets me discover.
Well, this is what we're talking about, right? We've got to get that data. We've got to aggregate that data into a feed that then becomes easy for people like me and people like Poly9 to start utilizing and putting. Because when it's in a nice feed format, then it's actually fast. When it's in a nice XML format, then we can just stream it and we can do stuff with it quickly. At the moment, a lot of what we're doing is hacking. You know, we're scraping, we're pulling stuff out of places it wasn't supposed to be pulled out of or was never designed to be done that way. So that's why, a lot of the content on my site is about how you do that.
And that's one of the premises of Virtual Earth, too, is to actually enable a situation where we can share information in one place and that information then can be served up and be actually organized and structured in a way that we can all share it right off from the bat. So that's where we're trying to go. But I recognize what you're also saying is when we get to a situation where there's hundreds of thousands of dots and it also almost obscure the map, then the categorization, the classification is going to have to come into play, and that's stuff we're definitely looking into because that's exactly where we want to go.
I think you're going to need new UI idioms because
having
just dots ain't going to do it, right?
That's right.
Because you're just going to not see the map anymore.
That's
so
right.
You're going to need to put them into a pile.
One of the things we talked about this morning that these guys were talking about, actually, do you want to talk about clusters?
Yeah, you were doing a cluster.
Should we swap seats again?
Yeah.
Talk about clusters?
Yeah,
we should probably still have four or five demos to go.
Only one because we promised dinner for them. So.
It's not a demo. It's not.
You don't need to eat. Do developers actually eat?
Yeah, pizza's on its way, right? That's dinner.
Pizza and Diet Pepsi or Diet Coke.
So this is actually a screenshot of an application that was built for the San Francisco conference. The thing is that since Google introduced their mapping API, this would have to be redone. But, you know, most of it would still work. But I have a screenshot with me just to, you know, show off. So the idea, the idea was that we would aggregate points from different sources. So from sources coming in from RSS, GeoRSS. GeoRSS is just a format. We'd have a lot of, like, for example, upcoming.org has a lot of events coming up. You have flight information, I don't know, where the flights are, where the restaurants are, and people adding points to that, you know, saying that sushi place is great, or here's another one you don't know about, making maps, aggregating, basically. One of the problems we came upon was exactly the problem you're describing. We have a million points, then what do? Do we crash? Do we explode? No, what we looked at is clustering. So clustering it's a mathematically, you know, computer science kind of operation, which has a lot of scientific work behind it. And the idea is that the computer just looks at a million points and it sees, just as we humans do in like a second, where most of the points are clustered. So you see like an example here over the map of the United States, you see those points that are clustered, and we just chose a little bullseye icon, but it could be anything else. And the idea is that, you know, when you press on that cluster, you could see inside. You could see what points are inside of that cluster, like the eye of the tornado. And then you could go inside the cluster, and at some point, your interface, you would only have to see 100 or 200 points, and then it's not a problem for, you know, any web mapping application. But it is an issue with a very large amounts of points. But there's a solution.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I was getting at.
Yeah.
We're going to need new UI idioms to help put things on top of maps and help us as humans find, you know, for instance, if I was taking a road trip to Jackson Hole this weekend, I'd want to know where all the clean bathrooms are. Well, there's going to be hundreds of, you know, eventually there's going to be hundreds of reports of, you know, here's a bathroom, here's a sushi restaurant, here's a lookout, you know, a photo a good photo opportunity, take right. a mile off yeah. the road here. You know, and that's stuff that's totally missing from the maps today. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be there tomorrow, I'm sure. I
mean, and it's and it's much more simpler when you let users contribute, because, you know, it's organic. People add to it and it becomes richer, and it's just this cycle just gets on. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah. And you guys are going to have to deal with blog spam at some point then, right? Because where users have the ability to put a photo,
yeah.
a spammer has the ability to put an ad or
right.
something that might not
right.
be
and that's something, again, we're looking at, figuring out what we've
You're
got
You're
going
to have a red there. Light district in the maps? He has a big smile on.
I don't know. No, it's, you know, we were going to talk about that in another interview. I think. That's for the interview later on.
I don't think that'll go on Channel 9.
I bet it does now. Anyway.
Well, cool. Anything else you guys want
to
show
no,
me?
No, I think we have to wrap up. And,
okay.
Yeah, and that's all
there.
Right.
Sounds good to me.
We really appreciate coming by.
Hey, this is really, really fun stuff.
And like the follow-ups, it's been really good. We've yep. given you the preview, we've given you the launch, and here you go on the applications. Cool. We'll just see what's next. I think Dr. Neil's next. We'll have to see what we're doing.
What are you guys going to do for APIs that let these guys play in a way that other mapping services
that
don't let you play?
That will be in part two.
That will be part two.
All right.
That will be Dr. Neil's part two.
We'll come back.
Yeah, we'll bring you back for that one.
Excellent.
All right.
Thanks, Neil.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thanks, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks a lot.
Let me just get your name badges.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how you spelled your name.
Yeah. Almost like a UPC case.
Yeah.